Well, hallelujah, glory, we're here. We are here, we are here. I can't even complain because I haven't been here this long, but I know you've all been very, very patient. And I want to share one of the things that when I first, the first Saturday that we were here and praying through the building, I want to say that praying Saturday mornings is one of my favorite parts of the week. It is wonderful. And the first Saturday we were here, we finished in the sanctuary. And, let me just back up a minute. When I got onto the property, I thought this used to be a bank. Because in the States, you have lots of fun little banks. Cute little buildings. We don't have that in Canada. We only have three banks. So I'm wandering through and praying, and all I saw was celebration. I saw people dancing. I saw people laughing. I saw brides. And I'm wondering, I mean, I felt like I was in a movie. I have not experienced this before. I felt like I was in a movie. And then I went to the, out to the back. And it was just, I've never seen so many angels. It was like they were playing hide and seek. They were just whooshing around. And this was new for me. I'm prophetic. I've seen things in the spirit. I have never seen what I saw since I've been here, when I've been on this property. So let that be an encouragement. But when I came in here, and it looked oh so different, and I was wearing my coat, and there were these two just majestic angels with their swords brandished just above the entrance. And I felt the Lord was saying that nothing can come in that is not of him. That he declares, that he says, that he has destined that this is holy ground. And his work will be done. His will be done. And that Texas ain't never going to be the same. Hallelujah. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And most of us are familiar with that scripture. But I read it in the Passion Translation, and I thought it was so interesting. When hope's dream seems to drag on and on, the delay can be depressing. But when at last your dream comes true, life's sweetness will satisfy your soul. Who has a satisfied soul tonight? Amen, amen. There is so much excitement about moving into a new place. And this is a tangible symbol of the newness of God, a new season and a new time, a time that he has ordained for you, for me, and for this city. You know, when we move somewhere, and particularly when it's a big move, the excitement, the expectation is also very big. And I remember when David and I moved from the bustling, big downtown part of Toronto into quiet, lovely Stratford. We had no idea how much that move would totally change our life upside down. And I feel that for some of you, this will be your move, even though it's not geographic for you, but moving into this church building is going to change your life. When we went to Stratford, we began to go to a little church in the basement of a former furniture store. And the pastors were John and Carol Arnott. You might have heard of them. And it was this little church, and it was just the beginning for them. And really, it was the beginning for us as well. Our trajectory in growth was straight up. There was no little, no. It was healing of the hearts. It was teaching and learning and trying and being afraid and trying anyway. And we just went for it. And I want to encourage you right now. Don't let fear get in the way. Go for it. There is so much to go for. And your life will never be the same. And it's going to be a wild ride, but you're going to have lots of fun. Because is there anyone here who wants to be boring? I am so glad no one put their hands up, because boy, I would have been your new best friend whether you wanted it or not. So we go off to Stratford. We're in this little church. We're in this heightened kind of thing. We don't even realize. And Carol and I, so John and Carol became very good friends, became our mentors. And, you know, John and David were real stars. You know, David could do a lot of things. John could do even more things. And Carol and I, we would just marvel. We were like the little groupies, you know. We would marvel about our husbands, you know. Not only aren't they cute, but also things like, look at all they can do. Look at all they can do. And Carol and I would just say, well, you know, we might not be able to preach, or we might not be able to lead worship, but at least we can love people. Now, I'm chagrined to tell you that, because we really underestimated the healing power of love, right? But not only that, it really was that we didn't know what our spiritual gifts were. Can anyone relate to that? Yeah. Some are more obvious than others. Mine were lurking, I think, somewhere deep, didn't want to come out. So if for some of you who've seen Carol minister, I'm sure it's hard to believe. You know, I mean, she can be scary. If she gets the sword of the Lord going, man, like, look out. But there was a time where she was pretty tentative, and she spoke once a year on Mother's Day. And she didn't even like that. So, lesson to learn, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Be faithful with little, and you know more will come your way. However, we do have an enemy, the enemy of our soul, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. That sounds very dramatic, and of course we can spot that kind of strategy a mile away. However, he's actually very sneaky and very subtle. And his chirping, has anyone heard the chirping? Yep. The chirping undermines and discourages us. And on challenging days, even causes us to doubt God's word, his promises, and the purposes he has for us. Think in the context of spiritual gifts. Sometimes we really don't know. We don't know what they are due to lack of teaching or exposure or opportunities to explore. We just don't know. But sometimes it's the voice of the enemy. You got nothing. Who do you think you are? What you do have, they don't need that. Someone else can do that. That is the voice of the enemy. And our warfare against that subtle undermining, the undermining of the enemy, is knowing, number one, and aligning ourselves with the word of God. So what does God say? Corinthians 12:1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. In the Passion Translation, my fellow believers, I don't want you to be confused about spiritual realities. Has anyone felt confused from time to time? Uncertain? Listen, we're all in the same club. Some of us have been members longer. Doesn't mean we're always smarter about it. And Corinthians 12:4-5, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all. Did you know, do you ever think about that we are the Father's idea? The creator of heaven and earth is our heavenly Father. And he thought through every aspect, not just what we would look like on the outside, but he thoughtfully considered the gift mix that we would need to fulfill his purposes for us. So just take a minute to let that settle in. He thought about you. You're one of his favorites. And what he put together in that nice little package called you is his idea. And we're not a hodgepodge or bits and bobs of things, but we're specifically, intentionally, and uniquely created. As Father considered and created you, in turn, he wants you to discover, develop, and use your unique gifts. Are you in? I don't see any hands up. I see more hands need to be up. I'm very interactive. And you know me, I always wave with my hands, so this is a bit of a problem right here. The Father sovereignly gave us, without repentance, spiritual gifts for the good of others, to benefit and strengthen the church, and to demonstrate outside the church the love and power of God. But we still have to choose to take the time to discover and develop them, and of course, use them. And that can take some time, but no time like the present. Start now. You know, you can know how to bake a cake, but your first cake might not be so great, even if you use a cake mix. But you know, if you bake a cake every week or every month, you're gonna be pretty darn good after a year, maybe even after 6 months. So think of it that way. We want to use what the Lord has given, develop, mature, hone, refine our gifts, because we're in this together. And we're called to contribute, to be generous, to be the faithful stewards. Can you imagine, do we have mourning people in the room? A few men, not too many hands going up there. However, this could change your morning routine. Can you imagine waking up if in the whole world, all the Christians woke up and said, how can I build up the faith of someone today? Can you imagine starting your day with that question? How it would set the tone? And in order to even answer that question, we would have to be activating our faith in preparation for using them. One of my favorite quotes that I use in coaching regularly, especially when I'm trying to help people shift the way they think about something and to shift sometimes even taking themselves seriously and what they want to do. And it's this, very simple and incorrect, as I have now discovered. But anyway, now it's my favorite quote. You can say it's mine, but it's opportunity happens to a prepared mind. So I thought, well, you know, I should probably look this up because I do use this a lot. Good thing I did. So the scientist Louis Pasteur said, the actual quote, chance favors only the prepared mind. And by this, he meant that sudden flashes of insight don't just happen, but they're products of preparation. And preparation, therefore, is key to success. And that can be us. Who wants to be successful in the kingdom? Well, actually, even if you didn't put your hand up, you're all successful because you're smart enough to invite Jesus into your life. There you go. You've got to feel better by the time this is over. So let's set the tone of our days. We can do that, right? We can wake up and say, oh, it's Monday. Oh, it's too hot. Oh, it's too cold. Oh, it's something, right? Or no one can do it for us. We can choose it ourselves, though, by asking the right questions and being prepared in our heart, our mind, and our spirit for the opportunities that the Lord wants to bring our way. And that's where that opportunity happens to a prepared mind. We begin to just, we're looking for opportunities. We're beginning to realize it's everywhere. So, simple example of why we need to be prepared and willing is, let's say you have a gift of healing and you go to church, nice friendly place, and someone needs healing. Well, you're not in the mood. And no, someone in the ministry team can do it. Or, you know, I'm going home. I'm hungry. So you don't offer to pray for them. You go home. The need's not met. The gift's not given. This is the servant who gets cast out into outer darkness. Matthew 24, 28 through 30. But because you are unfaithful, I will take the one talent and give it to the one who has 10. For the one who has will be given more until he overflows with abundance. And the one with hardly anything, even what little he has, will be taken from him. Then the master said, now throw that good-for-nothing servant far away from me into outer darkness where there will be great misery and anguish. Now who wants to go there? Right, I will remind you of that. Now, this is generally thought of as a parable of financial stewardship, but it's also the principle of multiplication and faithfulness. If you are faithful with little, you will be given more. Just think of Carol Arnott. Let's see what else the scripture says. 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help others. Passing on to others God's many kind blessings. Every believer has received grace gifts, so use them to serve one another as faithful stewards of the many colored tapestry of God. That's us. And I'm going to be flipping back and forth between NIV and the Passion Translation, so just in case you're wondering. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. And in verse 28, of course, apostle, prophet, teacher, miracles, helps, administration, and additionally, in Romans 12:6-8, prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy. There's lots to choose from. I'm sure if you dug around in there, you'd find some of those. Gifts are given to be given. And scripture is very clear. They're not about you or for you. It's an expression of your faith to serve others. And our gift to him is to use them. When I was preparing this message, and not without some challenge, I just want to say, it's been quite a week, I kept hearing, there's a place at the table for everyone. There's a place at the table for everyone. And I believe the Father wants you to know, as we're in our new building now, that we're all important. We all have a place. We're all ministers. And we're all needed in order to fulfill his plans and purposes for this church and this city. So I want you to really remember there's a place for you, and we're all invited. All the ministers are all invited. So, you know the scripture about the body is made up of many parts, and we go through all the body parts. And so sometimes, you know, people kind of go, well, you know, I don't think an ear is as important as an eye. But scripture is clear. It, as in the ear, is forgetting that it is still a vital part of the body. And unfortunately, we've decided which parts of the body are important or not. And what happens with that is we start to compare ourselves. Anyone going to fess up to that? Comparison is a sin. It's a sin against others, but even worse, it's a sin against God. Because what you're really saying is, he made a mistake with what he put within you. He loves you. He loves everything about you. He created you. He enjoyed creating you. He gave you gifts. And he gave you the gifts that he knew you would excel at once you actually knew what they were. Do you believe it? A few nodding heads. Thank you over there in the back corner. Have you ever thought of it that way? Have you ever thought of that you are God's idea and that he took time to really consider what you needed to fulfill his purposes? How does it feel? Do you feel special yet? Even in creating the message, I could feel some waves of that, and just, you know, even some of the stuff that sometimes the enemy chirps around to me, I could feel that fall away. Because the Lord talked to me directly about being special, about being unique. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that. Have you considered that along with receiving the gifts, that there's a responsibility? As I mentioned, the discovering, the developing, and using of those gifts. And it's not just for the building up of the body, although that is a primary reason, but it's also for your fulfillment. It's for your joy. We're not just workers. He's put those things in so they could come out and we could be fulfilled and filled with joy. I remember when I was in Toronto in January, we met a former student and we ended up ministering to her, and she was in kind of a bad way. And we were ministering to her, and it was, you know, the sobbing and the snotting and the heaving and the forgiving and all that good stuff. And in the middle of it all, like there's like 3,000 people there. It's way too many people. But here we are in our own little wonderful healing place. And I just stepped back for a minute and I went, there is nowhere I'd rather be and nothing I would rather be doing. And I'll tell you, by the time this crying and sobbing and repenting and forgiving finished, she looked like a different person. And you know what? She's a pastor. Now, isn't that church going to have a new pastor? You see, the body benefits when we step out. The body benefits when we come alongside. And you know, we talk about the family of God. And I don't know about you, but sometimes we just think the family of God is this group of people. But I'll tell you, when you travel, you really see your brothers and sisters all over the world. And you realize that you are part of something much greater than yourself. And that gets exciting. That gets really exciting. So, regarding our gifts, when things come easily to us, we don't think they're very important, do they? We don't necessarily think that they're gifts or that they're special. Now, I'm very organized and very detail oriented, and it's part of the gift of administration that I have. And I've used that in the corporate world, and I've used it in kingdom work. So it doesn't mean we can only use it in church or in a spiritual setting. I'm actually going to tell you a little bit about me. I also saw how my attention to detail benefited me when I was a pastry cook. Who knew? I used to make intricate marzipan roses, petal by petal, for wedding cakes, for birthday cakes. It's time-consuming. You have to pay attention, because if you went too fast, you could break them, and, well, that's a problem. Or decorating handmade chocolates individually. Each and every one got decorated by hand. You needed an eye for detail. You needed just the right touch. And timing was everything, especially with chocolate. Now, isn't it fun knowing we could use our gifts everywhere, anywhere, and be a blessing? Are there things in your life that you find really easy? I want you to even just ponder that for a minute. Are there some things that are really easy that you don't even realize have the touch of God on, that maybe he wants you to expand or go deeper with so you can use it more fully? Those things are a clue about what the Lord has put within you. And he wants you to bust out. He doesn't want you to be so narrow about where you use these gifts. He wants you to start thinking more broadly. He is broadening tent pegs. He is broadening your vision. He is broadening what he wants to do within you. The Lord is here, and so are you. And we got things to do. You know, the Father doesn't want us to be independent. He wants to speak to us about his purposes. He wants us to partner with him and with others. No one has all the gifts. No one. We need each other. We're in it together. And sharing them is a tangible way of showing love for one another. When we serve and contribute, come alongside, and get out of our comfort zone, personal favorite, anybody? That is what saying yes to God is all about. When it's not about us, and it's about the other, and it's about his plan. Holy Spirit, our helper, can't wait to empower you. Isn't that exciting? He is waiting for us to ask. He is waiting for us to give him an opportunity to as we lay hands on somebody. And Jesus, our Savior, wants us to be transformed into his likeness, doing what he did, and Scripture says, and even more. But I'd be ecstatic if I could do even a fraction of what Jesus did. So we are to be like Jesus, doing what he saw the Father do. And for that, we need to be equipped. And the Father is waiting for you to do what you are created for. Ephesians 2:10. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each one of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? Am I the only excited person here? I only had one cup of coffee. Can't be that. The Father is showing you what you are saved for. 2 Timothy 1:9. He gave us resurrection life and drew us to himself by his holy calling and our lives. And it wasn't because of any good we have done, but by his divine pleasure and marvelous grace that confirmed our union with the anointed Jesus even before time began. When you start thinking about some of these things, don't you just want to lie down and let it soak in? The Father wants you to cooperate. I think that's a good idea. So no good thing is left undone. 1 Corinthians 12:27. You are the body of the Anointed One, and each of you is a unique and vital part of it. The Father wants you to do what you are gifted for. 1 Peter 4:10. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. The Father picked you. He picked me. He picked you to show the world what he is like. Isn't that the best job ever? Best job ever. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light, and now he claims you as his very own. He did this that you would broadcast his glorious wonder throughout the world. Well, let's start with NRH and Colleyville and Hearst and Bedford and Euless and how am I doing for Canadian? The Father wants you to move with confidence in what you are authorized for. Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came close to them. Jesus came close to them. He wants to come close to you. He wants you to put your head on his chest, hear his heart. Jesus came close to them and said, "All the authority of the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you, and never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age." He is with us, folks. He is for us. He can't wait to get this party started. The Father wants you to be prepared. Ephesians 4:11-12. And he has appointed some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. And their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ and those that do not yet know him. Amen? So, I would like everyone to stand up. And I'd like to pray for you. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to, out of anything I said today that really jumped out to you, that you just feel you need a minute to ponder, because we know when we go through the doors, we start thinking of other things like food. So let's just stay here, and in this moment, let's think, what is the Lord saying to you today, right now? What is he saying to you about what he would like you to do with what he has given you? Now, folks, I know you. There's a lot of faithful ones, and I fully agree with the word about the remnant. But What is he saying now? What is the today question for you? What is he saying? Father, we are so, so very thankful for your goodness to us, your generosity to us, that you have a plan and purpose for us. And Lord, all you're waiting for is our yes, not perfection, but just our yes, our willing hearts and our availability. And Lord, we repent of any time you've asked us to do something and we were afraid. And we were afraid. Lord, we say we're sorry. And will you give me another chance? And he will. He will. He truly is the God of second chances and third and fourth. So, Lord, we receive your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness as we stand before you and say, yes, Lord. And I encourage you to say yes out loud if that's in your heart today. Thank you. Thank you. That is worship to him, hearing your yes. I just felt overwhelmed with the Father's heart, just even as you said that, that his delight for you in hearing that is great. And so, Father, receive the yes as an offering unto you, an offering to your plans and purposes for this place and this time. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I just speak to every gift within each and every minister here, every gift that is unknown, every gift that has been squelched, every gift that's been dormant, I just call it to life in the name of Jesus Christ. I just call it forth. I speak the Ruach, breath of God, upon you, upon your spirit, upon your thinking, upon your gifts. In the name of Jesus Christ, I say, come forth. We need you. We need you. We need you. May the voice of God be louder in your ear about what you can do, about what that nasty enemy of ours is trying to tell you you cannot do. I bless your ears to hear the loving voice of the Father who ordained this moment, who has given you an abundance. You're all little treasure chests filled with riches. I want you to think about that. I want you to draw a picture of that. I want you to do something with this idea of treasure chests, that you are a treasure chest. At his leisure and command, he can open up, dip his hands in, and give it away. So, Father, I bless the work of your hand, the desire within your heart for each one here. Lord, they all think they're your favorite. Hallelujah, we are. So Lord, we love you, we bless you, we trust you. We agree with the plans you have for CTF DFW. We agree with the plans that you have for this city and this area and this state, Lord. We agree. We say yes and amen. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Use me in a new way. Use me in a way that only can be because your spirit flows through me. Lord, I don't want to be someone who can only do what I can do. I want to be someone who can do what only you can do through me. So, Father, we say yes, Lord. We want to be that kind of people who are a little bit on the crazy side because we hang it all out there with you, Lord. That's what we want to be. That's who we want to be. We want to be known for that we are solidly, we walk on solid ground of your word. But Lord, we also walk with our hand in yours, and we are ready and willing to go beyond our comfort zone to gather the one, to gather the person that you're pointing out. Father, that's who we want to be. That's who we want to be. So Lord, stamp us today. Stamp us, Lord, with your seal of approval. With your seal, Lord, that's what we need. We love you, Lord. We bless you and we thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well done.